I want to talk to you about something. We was talking to one of our members, and I told him that I missed him, and this guy said, "Well, said I don't feel like I'm a great importance at the church." But he said, "I love to come. And I miss not being there." And I got to thinking about that. And I thought about it all week. And here's some thoughts the Lord put on my heart about it. You see, I believe if you're saved, you are important. And you are important to this assembly. And I do not want nobody that comes here to feel that they're insignificant. To feel that they're of non-importance. Non-essential. Because that's a lie of the devil. And I want to talk to you about that. I want you to see how the Lord addressed this problem. Look with me, and I'm going to read two passages. One is found in Matthew chapter 20. Everybody thinks, and you know, this lady comes up in here to the Lord. And I don't really fault her, because all you mothers out there that have children, and you wouldn't be real right if you didn't feel this way, but you mothers out there that's got children, you think your children is top of the line, the best they are. Amen? And so I'm not faulting this woman when she comes to the Lord with this request, because I know that that's human nature. Notice what it says in verse 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Did I tell you what's where to go? Or did I just say Matthew? Alright, Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her son, worshiping him." Now she's coming worshiping the Lord. She knows who he is. "And desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may see it, the one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." In other words, what she's saying, "Lord, you got 12 men, but my two's the best. Put them on the left and the one on the right. They're the top of the line." And the other 10, whoever, these is the ones you want to shine the brightest. Now look how the Lord answered. "But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." And he said unto them, "Ye shall indeed drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with." Now he'd already been baptized in water. He's talking about the baptism of death. "But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them to whom it is prepared of my Father. So somebody's got it. But verse 24, and when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. In other words, who do they think they are? They think they're better than us? They think that they're more important than we are? To go and ask the question like that? Who do these men think they are? Isn't that sort of how it's going? But Jesus, verse 25, called unto them and them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And he departed. The point that when I read this, I got to thinking about what the brother said about he wasn't important. The most important people in the assemblies today is not the ones that gets the limelight, it's the service. It's the servants. And in the way the Lord's got the thing set up, if you want to be great, then you serve. If you want to be important, you serve. Now look how Mark tells you about it in Mark chapter 10. It's the same scenario, but he adds a little bit there. They came to him in verse 35. You'll see who the sons are. Verse 35, and James and John. Remember in John, James and John is called the sons of thunder. The sons of Zebedee come unto him, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left in thy glory. So Mark portrays it like they're doing most of the talking. Matthew talked about their mother. Either way, I imagine both of them were doing a lot of the talking, trying to get the Lord to do what they wanted him to do. In other words, he said, grant that we may, unto us, that we may sit one on the right hand, the other on the left in thy glory. And he goes on, talks about his baptism. Come down to verse 41, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. In other words, they felt like they were doing more than the other two, and they deserved to have this position of authority. Now, you know you got people like that in the church, in the assemblies. You think that they think that they're more important than somebody else in the assembly. And that the church couldn't operate without them. Well, that's a haughty spirit. And that's wickedness in the eyes of God. He says, if you want to be lifted up, then you humble yourself down. God giveth grace to the humble. And so, this was their attitude, that they were more important. And I can understand the mother, like I said at the beginning. But when it comes to the boys asking it for their own, then it's a different ball game because they feel like they're more important than somebody else. Now, I'll ask you something. If you feel like you're more important than anybody else sitting in this assembly right now, and you, your work, this church couldn't do without you, but it could do without somebody else, you need to get your heart right with God because you're not right. That's a haughty, arrogant, proudful heart filled with pride. And seven things the Lord hates. And the majority of the seven things has to do with being proud. That's one of the dangers. That's one of the things about learning right division. The Bible said knowledge puffeth up. And people get puffed up thinking they know more than everybody else, and they get filled with pride and everything. And pride goeth before the fall, destruction. And somewhere, sometime, when people get exalted and feel like that they're more important than anybody else, you watch it, somewhere, sometime, they get their legs cut out from under them. There's nobody here that's more important than anybody else. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God, and if we hadn't trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we'd be in the gutters just along with everybody else in this world. The only difference between us and everybody, we have Christ. We're, as the bumper singer said, you know, we're just forgiven. And we'll have salvation. These men felt like they were more important. And so the Lord, He goes on, He said, and it caused a problem with the other disciples. In verse 41, they was displeased with James and John. And so, verse 43, notice what He said, but so shall it not be among you like the Gentiles, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. For whosoever of you will be the chief shall be servant of all. Are you a servant? Is your life consisting of serving other people? As a member of the body of Christ, you ought to have that desire to serve other members of the body of Christ. I'm not talking about serving the world. I'm not talking about being friends with the world. And I realize the lost people out here, they do a lot of things that we don't agree with and whatever it is. I'm talking about serving the members of the body of Christ, the saved individuals that's in the body of Christ that come to this assembly. Everybody here, I hope you're saved. And if you are saved, you ought to have a desire to serve one another, not hurt one another, not put one another down, not build yourself up above anybody else in this assembly, but get down and serve. Let's look at some what Paul says about it. Are you a servant? Turn with me and look in Philippians. In Philippians. Now, if you want to fulfill my joy as a pastor, this is what... And by the way, according to this Bible, you don't want to cause me grief. That's bad. Don't cause me grief, but cause me joy. Look what Paul says. Fulfill ye my joy. That ye be what? Did I not tell you where to go? Y'all should know this verse. This is Paul's epistles. Philippians, did I tell you that? Oh, chapter 2. I'm sorry, it's my fault. Verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be what? Like-minded. having the same, what? Love. Being in one, what? Accord. Unity. Togetherness. Loving one another as members of the body of Christ. Of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. In other words, the strife would be like doing it to show up, show somebody up. I'm doing, look what I've done. I'll show them, blah, blah, blah. Vain glory would be to get glory on yourself. Look at me, look what I'm doing. I'm the one doing anything. Y'all see that? Vain glory. Anytime the glory is took away from the Lord, it's vain glory. Now, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem, lift up, esteem other better than themselves. Do you do that? I mean, would you lift somebody else up before you lift yourself up? Think about it, folks. We're the members of the body of Christ. I'm talking to saved people now. We're in the church, the body of Christ. We're members in particular. We make up that spiritual body, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and there should be no vainglory in our assemblies. There should be no haughtiness in our assemblies. We ought to be serving one another. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That attitude made himself of no reputation. Verse 7, took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Became a servant. Turn with me and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're servants. And we should treat one another as a servant. I should treat you. I'm your servant. And Paul even says that back in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. He said, if I be offered upon a sacrifice, poured out for you, for your faith, I serve you as your pastor. I serve you as your teacher. I don't do this for my health. I certainly don't do it for money. I go to work. I do it because this is where the Lord placed me in the body of Christ. I'm your servant. I study my Bible every day. I read my Bible every day. I pray, I study, I try to come up, try to find something to feed you with, and I've been doing it for 30 years. I'm serving you. And you ought to serve one another. I esteem you higher than myself. There are times that I don't feel like coming up here. There are days or Sunday I'd just soon stay at home or go somewhere else. There are times that I put off things because I come up here. I'm your servant. I esteem you higher than I do my own self. And I'm not talking about taking a vacay or something like that. I'm talking about there are times, Sunday after Sunday, there are times that I don't want to do that. But I esteem you high enough, I do it to serve you. You look at somebody else. I use Brother Winston a lot because he's on the front row. If you ever move off the front row, I know you're getting tired of me using you. No, just kidding. He won't do that. He's my buddy. But I use him. I use Dan back there. He's next to the line. So Dan, don't you move. But Brother Winston, Dan, you take them too. Brother Winston should look at Dan, and he should esteem him, Dan, how he does his, and look for the opportunity of serving him. And Dan looks at Winston and esteems him higher than himself and looks for an opportunity to serve him. That's what the members, every member in this assembly, you ought to be looking for the opportunity to serve one another. In love and lowliness of heart. Not to get glory on yourself, because you just love. Because the Lord was your servant. If we do that, it'd be unity. It'd be peace. Wouldn't be no vain glory. It wouldn't be nobody out trying to do out the other. And there wouldn't be no members feel like, well, I'm not very important. You are important, every one of you. And shame on anybody that would make somebody feel that they're not important. And I've thought about it a lot. If the only reason you come here is because of me, then I thank you. You keep coming. Because, boy, if you didn't come, poor old June, she'd just, what would she do? She'd hear it. I'd dump the whole load on her, and she knows it. No, just kidding. You are important to me, and to the Lord. This church cannot function without members. No more than your body can function without members. Cut your feet off, what would you do? Fall. Couldn't walk. Look with me, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. There's one body, one church, one Lord, one faith, one body. But that body consists of many members. And he uses the natural body to demonstrate the body of Christ. Look what he says. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, word drink, like Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. It's receiving Christ. And that Spirit is in you. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you drank to that Spirit, and you were baptized into that body, and you became one with Christ in the body of Christ. You lost your identity. Now you're a member of the body of Christ. For verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? He asked the question. Well, of course, you say, well, Paul, he's crazy today. You know, don't be part of the body. Just cause he ain't the hand, you think that's gonna make him not? He's a foot. Verse 16, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Of course it's of the body. Do you see what Paul's getting at? The eye has a different function in the body of Christ than the ear. The feet have a different function for the body than the hand. I mean, you imagine going around shaking feet. Everything about your body has a purpose. What he says. If the whole body were an eye, what's that Monsters, Inc.? The little eyes there? I think about that whenever I read it. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. He put the members where they're at in the body to do a job for that body as it pleased Him. Not pleased you, not because you wanted to be something that you're not. He placed you there. And you have a job to do. And you know what that job is. There are different ministries, different ministrations. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Our word comeliness there is suitable. It's handsome. It's graceful. Those people that have that, the comely parts, they have no need, verse 24. In other words, they get the attention. And they get put out in front. But what about those that are not very graceful, that are not suitable for public speaking? God got them. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together and hath given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. In other words, the body, the members of the body that are not comely, they're not handsome, they're not suitable for certain types of work. God has given them special attention. It reminds me of a mother. Maybe she's got two children, three children. One of them is sickly. The other child, the two children, they're healthy, and that sickly child, Mama pays a little bit more attention to. Not that she loves it more than the other two, but that sickly child just needs more attention. I think about my uncle. Walked on crutches all of his life. I remember my mama talking about my grandma going in there and rubbing his legs at night. So he's hurt. She didn't rub the other youngins. You see what I'm getting at? There's members of the body of Christ that we think, oh, well, we can do without, and we don't even know what God is doing with that person. They might be getting more grace than you ever thought about getting. simply because they're not in the limelight. Then there's people that's trying to do the other functions in the body instead of what God called them to do. Now my eyeball can't hear a thing. No matter how it tries to hear, my eye just cannot hear. I can't plug my ears up and hear anything. And I can't close my eyes and see with my ears. So, you got to do what the Lord puts you in the body to do. Not everybody is a pastor. You got to be, it takes grace. Not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody has the ministry of teaching. There are a lot of evangelists that their ministry is to evangelize that can't teach a lick. They can't pastor, they're not a teacher, but they're an evangelist in the body. What's an evangelist? Oh, I mean evangelizers. They get out, but they can go out, man, and they can talk to anybody. I wish I could do that. It seems like they don't have any problem. There are people that can go out and give out tracts and do this and strike up a conversation and give out tracts and lead people to Christ and on the thing goes. And that it just comes easy for them. And it's just fluent and everything just smooth with them. And they love to do that and they enjoy doing that. And they just seem they're happy when they're doing it. You know why? That's their grace. Then others, they have to struggle. Oh, how they going? Here it goes, and you stutter around there and talking, and the people leave and say, that dumb cluck, he ain't got nothing, he don't even know what he's talking about. And they don't struggle. Why? That's God didn't put them in the body for that. They're not evangelists. But they can get up, and they can expound on a verse of Scripture. They can come. You know, look at some of the faith. You'll see where the ministries is at. Look in Romans chapter 12. I want you to see, folks, that you have a job to do. And it might not be teaching. It might not be preaching. It might not be evangelist. But whatever it is, it's important to the body of Christ. If you don't get anything else, get that. You are important. Romans chapter 12, look what he says in verse 3, verse 4. I tell you what, let's go back to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, and I could say that to you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now don't overrate yourself, thinking you can do all things at all times. Don't think too highly of yourself, but to think soberly, straight, solid. This is what the Lord wants me to do. Well, yeah, but you can leap tall buildings in a single bound. And you try and you go splat. It's not, don't think too highly. According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, And all the members have not the same office. So the ministries, as God has put you in the body, it's called an office. Paul's office was the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, I magnify my office. He was a teacher of the Gentiles. He was a preacher of the Gentiles. And so he went out and he went to the Gentiles, establishing churches and getting the thing rolling, preaching the gospel. He was a pastor, teacher, evangelist. He was all in all. Okay? So we, being many, are one body in Christ, verse 5, and every one members one of another, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. We don't have that today because we have the complete Word of God. You see, that office is not there now. You go to Ephesians 4 and he gives pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. He goes on, ministry, let us wait on our ministry. That's not sitting down, crossing your legs, folding your arms, and waiting until it comes. No, that's waiting like serving tables. You have a waiter. And you're waiting on your ministry. You're tending to your ministry. You're fulfilling your ministry. So some's God, let us wait on that. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, building people up. You know there's an office of just lifting people up. Haven't you ever been around somebody and you just, when you got around them, they just brighten your day up? You've seen them, they had a smile on their face, and even if you're down and out, you just enjoyed being around them. They're exhorting you. They're lifting you up. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. There's an office of giving. Helping. He that ruleth with diligence. As an office of rule, taking care of things. So the other members don't have to worry about it. That's like the office of a deacon. We have our deacons. They help take care of things, so you don't have to worry about it. They don't run the church. The body runs the church. The Lord's the head, the body runs. They just help. They're aids. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Hypocrisy would be the word. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly, affectionate, one to another with brotherly love and honor and preferring one another. That's esteeming one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, serving the Lord. We come here to serve the Lord. We come here to learn the Word of God, rightly divided. We come here to fellowship. We come here to lift one another up. We come here to esteem one another. We come here to help one another, exhort one another. We come here to serve one another. Shame on people that don't do that. Now, if there's somebody here that you think you're better than they are, let me tell you right now, you're not. Do you know that old what is we is a song? At the foot of the cross, I mean the ground's level at the cross. There's no big I's or little U's. We all got a job to do, and we need to do that job. One other passage, and I'm going to let you go. Service. You want to be great? Serve. Look into Ephesians chapter 4. And over again, Paul reminds the people he writes to of this. He said, wherefore, verse 25, Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. In other words, why is he saying that? Because you're members of the at one same body. You all got that in common. You're the body of Christ. You're members in that body. And just because somebody else has got some other job to do, that doesn't make them any more important than you, or you're less important. Amen. Members, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. That's something to write to the church and tell that, isn't it? But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. And we try to do that here at Charity. And there's one thing about this church. We are charitable. They say what they want to. We try to do that. And you know something, folks? As far as I'm concerned, this is the best church in this state. Amen, amen, amen. Verse 29, let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edified, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, folks, when you talk with one another, it ought to be graceful, that it will minister grace unto the hearers, and it would build them up, edify them. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. And evil speaking, folks, that word evil pops up a lot. You know what evil speaking is? That's speaking hurtful, that brings hurt to the people. You know something, everybody in this building got certain things in common. You know what one of them are? We all got feelings. We got different tastes, but we got the same feelings. We can be hurt. And that's evil speaking, is when you maliciously say things to hurt somebody and bring pain to somebody. That's evil speaking. That's wickedness. I'm talking about saved people now. What he says, be put away from you with all malice. There it is. That's the intent. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What a book, isn't it? Folks, we serve one another. Greatest members in the church is those that serve. Now, can you imagine what mass confusion it'd be if all of you wanted to preach and jump up here with me and we all preaching? All of us can't preach. All of us can't teach. We all pray. We can all do our part. When I see people that's not here, I miss them because they're important. And I look around at all of you and I miss you. You are important. And you're very important to this church. Well, I'll expect my raise next Sunday. No, just kidding. Go ahead.